welcome to Tuesday Morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us. And boy, I hope you take care on both your drive and then even your walk into work today. So slippery in parts of the province. If you look to the south, Regina, south of Regina, Moose Jaw, that part of the province, the highway hotline actually showing that travel is not recommended in much of that part of the province. So the highway hotline, definitely one to check, but we are hearing from lots of people on the text line about how tough the road conditions are. We've got semis in the ditch in some areas, certainly between Moose Jaw and Regina. Up around the Saskatoon area, visibility is low in some parts. Even the drive from Davidson to just outside of Saskatoon, completely covered there. So you pass a vehicle, you know how that is, the snow blows up. So do take care on the highways this morning. As we get into open lines, we'll be sharing more of your texts and your thoughts there. We have got an absolute packed morning. Sounds like the Conservative motion on pipelines today won't put the Liberals to the test. It sounds like the Liberals are going to vote against it. We'll talk a little bit about that. Trump is threatening tariffs on fertilizer, yada, yada, yada. We've heard this before. I don't think this is a serious threat, but we'll hear your thoughts on that as well. I've got the Saskatoon Chief of Police. We've got the Canadian Taxpayers Association with their annual Naughty and Nice list. We got a lot going on. Let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, we know that the Saskatchewan legislature wrapped up its fall session on Friday, which means they won't be back in until March. But boy, there was a lot of developments, and especially justice developments, announced in the recent fall sitting. The provincial government announced new firearm amendments, strengthening provincial authority over licensing, defamation legislation came in. There's a lot to talk about, which is why I'm happy to say we have joining us this morning Saskatchewan's Minister of Justice, the Attorney General for the province, the Minister of Corrections, Policing and Public Safety, and the Minister responsible for the Firearms Secretariat. He does all of that, Minister Tim McLeod, joining us by phone. Minister, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for having me,
Evan. So it's been a busy fall. The fall session in the Ledge has been busy. I've got a couple of things here that are under your portfolio that I'd like to talk about. Let's start with defamation. There was an update to the defamation laws in Saskatchewan. Why was this needed?
Yeah, we've introduced the Defamation Act 2025, which really it's replacing the Libel and Slander Act, which is over a century old. I think that act goes back to about 1909. When really newspapers were the only form of media out there. And of course, today's media landscape is far more diverse. So this piece of legislation really does two things. Number one, it merges libel and slander. It gets rid of the distinction between written and spoken defamation, just calling it defamation. And then the second is really it's just modernizing to ensure that today's media landscape is properly reflected, capturing online and digital forms of media. But I think an important note is that the standards required to achieve the claim of defamation haven't changed. Nothing is changing in that regard. There's two things that need to be established. The statements or comments need to be untrue. And secondly, they need to cause harm to someone's reputation. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it will continue to be under this legislation.
I was just going to ask if the threshold had changed, knowing that it hasn't. We actually just did a whole segment on defamation on the Roundtable of Justice just over a week ago. We had a lawyer on talking about it. Do you think even the kind of the publication of these changes will bring about more defamation cases in the province?
Well, I don't know if it'll bring about more cases, but certainly what we wanted to do was make sure that people who were subject to defamation or had a cause for a defamation claim have the appropriate legislation, because as I said, the media landscape is very different. It used to be that, you know, if it was published in the newspaper, a retraction could be printed and it would never be seen again. But of course, with online and digital media, statements that can float around the internet are particularly harmful, and and difficult to get rid of, and monetary damages might not always be the appropriate recourse. So this legislation will allow for judges to order that items be de-indexed and pulled off the internet if they achieve that threshold of defamation.
Minister Tim McLeod is my guest, Saskatchewan's Minister of Justice. I've seen a few comments online and in reaction to news stories from people saying this is a threat to freedom of speech. If the threshold hasn't changed, I don't really see that being the case. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think people that are afraid of that maybe just don't understand what the current state of the law is or what the new law is proposing, or possibly both. But you're absolutely right. The threshold hasn't changed. If a comment is untrue and it's harmful to someone's reputation, it should be withdrawn. It should be taken down. And that standard has always been there for over 100 years, and it continues to be the standard in the new legislation as well.
Let's talk, if we can, firearms amendments for a second, because we know that Saskatchewan has been a leader when it comes to protecting firearm owners against the federal legislation, particularly the firearm buyback. We've seen a pilot project, which I would suggest was not successful on the East Coast. Can you talk about this new piece of legislation and how that's going to work for firearm owners in the province?
Sure. What we've done with the new amendments to the Firearms Act is really taken another step to protect our lawful firearms owners. So the original act was put in place to make sure that the Firearms Commission was in place, and any seizure agents needed to be approved through the Firearms Commission. However, we've taken further steps now to ensure that the individuals whose otherwise lawful firearms that have been made unlawful by these changes that the federal government is introducing, if their guns suddenly become illegal, that means that they're no longer holding the value that they did before. So what we want to do is make sure that the federal government is responsible for properly compensating these law-abiding gun owners if they devalue their firearms by effectively making them illegal.
Let me ask you this question, Minister McLeod, because I, even in my previous job, I talked about this a fair bit. In fact, I talked with Commissioner Bob Freeburg about this a lot. Are we comfortable? I love the steps that the province is taking, but are we comfortable that we are protecting law-abiding firearm owners from becoming criminals if and when the legislation goes through? Have we done enough to protect and prevent that from happening?
Well, I certainly think we've done as much as we can in the provincial jurisdiction. Of course, there's some overlap in the jurisdiction here, because firearms are federally of federal jurisdiction. However, personal property is provincial jurisdiction. So we're taking all of the steps that we believe we possibly can to ensure that an individual's personal property is protected and properly compensated in the event that the federal government either devalues it or ultimately if it is seized. Now, again, when it comes to seizing the property, the province of Saskatchewan isn't planning on seizing anyone's property. However, if people do wish to voluntarily turn their firearms over to the Firearms Commission and the Firearms Office, they will be properly stored and appropriately compensated.
Minister Tim McLeod is my guest, the minister responsible for the Firearms Secretariat, Saskatchewan Minister of Justice, also the Attorney General, Minister of Corrections, Policing and Public Safety. Multiple hats. Can we talk about drugs for a second from a couple different angles? The government of Saskatchewan introduced the Response to Illicit Drugs Act, which strengthens accountability for drug traffickers and ultimately, I would say, enhances community safety. Very recently, we saw the Compassionate Intervention Act. How do those two work together, and do we feel as if we are making continuous progressive steps forward in dealing with this wicked problem in the province?
Yeah, I think these two pieces of legislation are just a continuation of what we've started several months ago, even a couple of years ago, moving in this direction where it's really two streams of thought. The first is making sure that we have the supports necessary for people who are battling addiction. And the second is holding those who are creating addiction and bringing these poisonous drugs into our communities, holding them accountable and making sure that that they're being properly punished for the harms that they're causing. And so these two pieces of legislation really fall into each of those streams. We have the Response to Illicit Drugs Act, which is holding drug traffickers and those who would produce these illegal drugs accountable by creating a cause of action so that the province or families who have been harmed by these drugs now are able to sue an individual who has created that harm by trafficking the drugs and putting them into our communities. And then the second piece of legislation with the compassionate intervention is more on the support side, making sure that we have a safe, healthy place for individuals who are battling complex and severe addictions, making sure that they can be properly housed until they're capable of reaching a place where they can find that path to recovery.
In the construction of this legislation, Minister McLeod, was there consultation done with people at various levels? And I'm not just thinking about the professionals. I'm thinking about maybe families that have been impacted or even people with lived experience when it comes to drug addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a great deal of consultation along the way, and that will continue as we continue to debate these pieces of legislation in the House. But what we're seeing and what we're hearing overwhelmingly from our communities is that the drugs out there today are just so powerful, so addictive, and so harmful that they're really damaging people's brain and their ability to rationalize or choose a healthy path. We've seen some really sad cases where tragic cases where families have been impacted by the loss of someone because of the addiction, because the addiction was just so powerful they couldn't convince the addict to make those healthy choices, and this piece of legislation will certainly help that.
And I know that it's not necessarily under your ministry, but this Compassionate Intervention Act was introduced here just this past week. Will we see more consultation before this rolls out for a vote in the March session when this comes forward, or do we already know, I guess, kind of what the steps, the regulatory framework is going to look like for this?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The regulations for this will continue to be in draft form while we do those consultations. We will consult with our community leaders, First Nation leaders, certainly with the frontline individuals, the police and EMS. Our PAC teams will be a critical piece of this equation. So we're going to continue with those consultations, making sure that when that legislation ultimately passes, that we've turned over every stone. We've looked at it every way we can to make sure that it's the most effective to create healthy, stronger, safe communities.
One last piece of business that I know you've been working on. It was determined that an independent firm would be named to conduct an after-action review of Saskatchewan's wildfire response. Where are we at in that process?
Yeah, Myers Norris Penny was the successful proponent in that review, and they're just starting that work. They're setting up their framework and their process. They're an experienced firm who's done this type of review in other provinces, other jurisdictions, the BC wildfires, the Jasper fire, wildfires in the Northwest Territories as well. So very experienced experts in this regard. And we're right at the front end of that work, but they're going to be starting that work here in the months ahead so that we will hopefully have the results of their review available to us before the next fire season.
Is there a recognition that, and I'm guessing this discussion has happened in other provinces too, you can do an after action review, fair enough, but is there a process that should be looked at in front of this in terms of forestry management that might be a preventative measure? Does that play into this discussion at all?
Yeah, the SPSA does an annual review of their response always, and that will continue. And this is an independent review on top of that that's never been done before. That's really going to be far more broad and comprehensive, a very robust review that's going to include all aspects, including feedback from the communities that were impacted by fires, from the first responders who responded to the fires. But when it comes to the forest fire management, I think that you're referring to, the SPSA has actually been doing a lot of work in that regard, preparing communities through fire smarting programs for several years, encouraging them to make sure that they're fire smarting their communities during the off seasons, creating fire breaks, setting up wet lines, making sure that their sprinkler systems are in place. And we were really, really pleased this summer when the community of Wadden Bay was able to demonstrate just how effective that fire smarting is. That's a community in northern Saskatchewan that was devastated by the fires in 2015. They fire smarted their community, and this year when that fire rolled over the community, not a single property was lost because they had fire smarted their community so thoroughly that they really protected it well against the wildfire.
Minister, this is likely our last chat before Christmas. What does Christmas look like in the McLeod household?
Well, I think this year it's going to be pretty quiet. My daughter's coming home from university, and we've had a very busy fall with work. My wife just completed her doctoral work. She's now Dr. McLeod, so we're very proud of her in that regard. So I think it's going to be a very quiet Christmas in the McLeod house, enjoying some downtime with family.
I appreciate you joining us this morning and throughout the year. Have a great holiday season, Minister, and we'll chat again, I'm sure, early in 2026.
Thanks very much, Evan.
Saskatchewan's Minister of Justice, Tim McLeod, here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.